time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, very excited to announce that it is a day where Paul and I hate everything. So
yeah.
This will be a show of negativity,
hell yeah,
of hatred,
woo,
haterade, as they sometimes call it.
Oh, I love it. I love
it. And you know what? It's perfect because it's cut day, so we can make fun of reporters, too.
Yeah, it's cut day, and apparently every single player that just lost a job is the greatest player ever, and the Texans should just ignore the fact that there's a 53-man roster limit and sign all of them. And you know what? Good for them if they try.
So here's how this works. The reason that you see people saying, Schefter and Ian Rappaport and all of them saying, so-and-so cut from the Carolina Panthers, had a very strong preseason and most likely will picked up soon, is because
most likely
their agents are the ones feeding the reporters, obviously, and they want their guys to get picked up by someone else. It's a game. It's wonderful. And, of course, we're going to get into the...
We just need to get off the internet,
don't
we?
Incredible Jimmy Garoppolo tweets. Yeah, we both do, actually. Probably therapy also. Maybe a long walk in the woods. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But this is Vanessa and Gallant. It's not good when one of us is in a bad mood. Both of us are.
I think it's good when both of us are in a bad mood.
It's probably better radio. The Astros making some moves as well, by the way. J.J. Mattejevic and Yonier Diaz called up. Jake Myers, your favorite.
About time.
Option to Sugarland. And then Hunter Brown getting called up. Now, Brian McTaggart and Chandler Rome says this was planned before the Verlander injury or whatever the Verlander situation is. That made me feel better to hear that. But what were your thoughts on these moves?
The Brown thing's happening, I guess, officially on Thursday, but it's happening. So it's very strange. But as far as Jake Myers getting optioned to Sugarland, it's about time. The guy hasn't been hitting. And I think also it's pretty clear that Dusty Baker doesn't like his defense very much, given how much Mauricio Dubon's been playing in center field. Is that because of his shoulder? Is that because of something else? I'm not 100% sure. J.J. Mattejevic being called up doesn't make me feel a lot better about the Astros outfield depth. And again, I'm just going to keep on pounding my fist on the table. They messed up not getting more outfield depth at the trade deadline. This one was weird. So they bring up, as you mentioned, first baseman catcher Yonier Diaz. This is a guy who apparently hits very well. Doesn't it feel like it's another way that Dusty Baker can somehow keep Trey Mancini?
Yeah.
And on top of that, Christian Vasquez out of the lineup, so I guess he plays the positions that they play. We'll see what the kid's able to do. It feels like now you are even more loaded at a position where it's you probably have too many bodies.
Yeah.
First baseman and catcher.
All right. Yeah, lots of moves being made yesterday. We didn't find anything out about Justin Verlander's calf situation. I was hoping we would, but it was an off day for the or not the Texans. It was technically an off day for the Texans.
It was
an off day for the Astros.
Yes.
They do play the Rangers tonight. So my guess is, and my hope is, in media availability, we will see Dusty Baker,
yeah,
and he will give us an update on if it's just a short stint on the 10-day IL or if it's kind of a nothing burger and they were looking for precaution. God forbid it's something worse.
Probably 2 or 3 o'clock. Now, that said, Vanessa, given the Astros and the way that they talk about injuries, there's also a chance that
it's going to be a lot of discomfort.
Yeah, that's all we hear about. Oh, he's not comfortable. But I think really it's just keeping an eye on if he's placed on a significant injured list of some sort. Otherwise, I guess I'm being a little optimistic. I think he'll end up being back, but of course, who knows? That is just a gut feeling at this point in time.
Yeah, the Astros making some interesting moves. I was, like I said, when I saw that they were interested in getting Hunter Brown, that did make me worry for the Justin Verlander situation. We've talked a lot about the domino effect of if Justin Verlander, his injury does cause him to go on the IL or, again, that it's something more serious. I don't think it is. I think it's precautionary. It didn't look too bad. But if it were to be that way, what would your comfortability level be with their rotation the way that they have it now? And do you see Hunter Brown being kind of the piggyback guy?
It's a good question. By piggyback guy, do you mean like someone who would get inserted into the rotation?
Correct.
I don't think he will. I think that it's going to be difficult to, I guess, answer 100% who they would potentially put in. I mean, okay, you have McCullers, you have Valdez, you have Garcia, you have Urquidy. are you thinking about putting Christian Javier back in there? I know we saw him in extended work not too long ago, and it didn't look great over the weekend. So you definitely have options. I think Javier makes a lot more sense. I think Brown out of the bullpen, if I'm bringing a young pitcher up and it's September, and I actually want not just to develop him, but to get some contributions from him, I feel like a bullpen that seems pretty taxed with Ryan Pressly being injured and Rafael Montero not pitching particularly well of late, that would be a role that they could use him in. See how he does, put him in for an inning, put him in for a couple of innings. If he handles it well, great. If he doesn't, I mean, not the end of the world either.
Let's check in on our American League foes with a little Yankees watch.
Yankees watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
That's been a little bit of a better move.
Well, hey, Vanessa.
Gabagool.
You ever hear of a guy named Aaron Judge? You ever heard about him, huh?
Yeah, I heard about him.
Yeah.
That was a Southern.
Have you ever seen a picture of him next to Jose Altuve? Little man, little you-know-what syndrome, wearing buzzers and all that, cheating my beloved Bombers? Well, Aaron Judge last night did this. So take that, Astros fans.
The 1-1. High drive, left center, Trout back, looking up, see ya, number 50. Aaron Judge connects for his 50th home run of the year, and it's 4-3 Angels.
Yeah, he got 50 home runs. That's what the Bronx Bombers do, Vanessa. We got three guys who have done that in history now. Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, ever hear of them? Aaron Judge, too. So you take that, and you put it in your pipe, and you smoke it. You Texans down there. Ooh, we think we know baseball. Yeah, 27 rings. 27 rings.
And by the way, the New York Yankees lost to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Scene!
There you go.
They lost to the Angels.
There you go.
So,
did you see that picture, by the way, of Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani with the fire that
I sent you?
It's the coolest picture of the biggest waste of talent ever in Major League Baseball.
But hey, they beat the Yankees.
They did beat the Yankees.
How much of a waste of talent is it? You know, the Angels, I feel like they're trending up.
We have a call. Santiago would like to talk about the Astros. Hello, Santiago.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good. Yo. How are you?
Good. This is Santiago. So anyway, with Trey Lance, he either strikes out or hits a home run. I think that's why Dusty keeps him out.
You mean Trey Mancini?
We need players up there.
You said Trey Lance.
We need a hitter up there to put the ball in play. What do y'all think?
You know what? Paul, take this one away. He meant Trey Mancini. Right?
I like hitters that can put the ball in play, too.
Yeah.
Look, I think everyone's in agreement in that they have to find more ways to put Mancini and Vasquez into the lineup. One play Trey, I don't think is a baseball hitter.
I don't think he is.
I think that was that's a fine slip on a day like today where we're all trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Trey Lance.
We appreciate the call, by the way, Santiago.
The one play is a home run, though.
There you go.
That's true. That is very true.
Could Trey Mancini be called one play Trey?
I don't know. I feel like Trey Mancini might be called don't play Trey. Got him.
Oh, no.
Because Dusty doesn't always put him in the lineup. Look, I think that's what's weird about the move that they just made, where you bring up a first baseman slash catcher. Great. Like, I hope that the kid does well, Yonier Diaz. But at the same time, how is he going to fit into Dusty Baker's process of determining who plays first base, seeing as Yuli Gurriel is always going to get a lot of opportunities at first base because of what seems like respect? And the same thing with Martin Maldonado at catcher. So now it's like another... You have five guys for two spots. And, you can move Mancini into left field if you really want.
I'd like to see him stick around, but he's a free agent coming up, and I don't think he sticks around if he's not getting played or paid.
I agree with you on that front. Ooh,
AL West, obviously, the Astros are dominating that, as they always do against your Seattle Mariners. What have you seen from the Mariners lately, other than, of course, the J-Rod signing?
Look, I really don't know how to get a true feel for them until they go up against the Astros one more time. I do think that's going to happen in the playoffs. I feel like that's going to be one of those early round matchups, and I don't feel great about it from an Astros perspective, just because, look, I know that the last two series were pretty one-sided, but up to that point, it was a 6-6 split. And I feel, if nothing else, Seattle has been scrappy in all the games that they have played against the Astros this year. So And look, I haven't been paying as close attention to them. This is the time of year where I'm like, I want to press the super sim button.
Yeah, playoffs.
I want to get to the playoffs.
Playoffs.
We're running timber. You better move. You better dance.
Yeah.
Pitbull song.
Hey, Santiago mentioned Trey Lance by mistake, but we are going to talk about Trey Lance and the Jimmy G situation coming up. Plus, Lovie Smith and his comments on a couple of the different guys as we inch towards roster cutdown. The Texans, of course, having to trim it down to 53 within the next couple of days. First of all, let me tell you before we get to break about TGS insurance. I know you probably don't like shopping for home insurance. It's not the most fun activity. But the good thing is it doesn't have to be a hassle anymore, thanks to our friends at TGS and their new system that shops 36 carriers instantly. Just get your smartphone out, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. It sounds like a scam because it's so easy, but it is not a scam. Their online savings are legit, and their rating, nearly perfect from last year. Their average customer saving over $870. One more time, text MONEY to 232323. Get your home insurance quote, people, and save big today.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We love this time of year when we start seeing all these moves made, roster cutdowns. It seems like we can see the direction most teams are going. And we thought for a long time, because we heard it from Shanahan and John Lynch and all the rest, that Jimmy G was on his way out to the next available suitor. Not the case, at least not for right now. Yesterday, Ian Rapoport tweeting, "The 49ers and quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo are finalizing a new contract that will make him the highest paid backup in the NFL. A solution that keeps Jimmy G on the roster while making it clear it's Trey Lance's team going forward." Don't you love when you just know who a tweet is from?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a direct text. This is an Adam Schefter, Mr. Editor type text from John Lynch. Because here's what John Lynch, GM of the 49ers, right, is dealing with. He's made all these quarterback moves. He gave up several first-round draft picks for Trey Lance. So he's still in CYA mode. And so he texts Ian Rapoport and says, "Listen, it's still Trey Lance's team." And that's made clear by the fact that we're keeping Jimmy G.
Which makes no sense because
it actually does the opposite of make it clear that it's Trey Lance's team.
Right.
It actually does the exact opposite, Ian Rapoport.
Especially when you combine that, Vanessa, with this quote from Kyle Shanahan on Friday when asked about Lance's performance against the Houston Texans, which we all saw. Was anyone convinced by what they saw from Trey Lance in that game?
I mean, against the Texans ones in some cases.
Right. He could move, so that's neat, but he was far from impressive. Shanahan said this, "I would love to get Trey more practice and everything and more experience. So I would always want more of that. He needs to get in these real games now and start playing. And there's going to be times where he makes some mistakes and he has to learn from them and find a way to still win the game and overcome some of those things as he learns on the run." He's clearly not ready. They don't believe he's ready. This is their fallout plan. If everything hits the fan, they can find Jimmy Garoppolo on the sidelines, who, by the way, has not been with the team for a month because the 49ers have essentially said, "Yeah, don't practice
he
with
keeps,
us.
Quote unquote, recovering."
Right. He's probably going to be rusty now, too, if he checks back in. If there is a situation where they're like, Trey Lance, we're not feeling it today. We're going to put Jimmy Garoppolo in. This feels a lot like the situation that we saw in Miami not too long ago. But it was different there, where Ryan Fitzpatrick was like the starting quarterback, and then they would put in Tua Tagovailoa for a bit, but they would pull him out. This feels very similar to that. You got a veteran like this, who is that well-liked in the locker room. Sucks to be Trey Lance, but clearly he's not playing well enough.
It does. And if anything, they can use this as leverage should Jimmy G want to get traded. He has a no-trade clause, by the way. Good for him and his agents because they've slapped him around like a beaten wife. That was politically incorrect. Here's Ian Rapoport on Jimmy Garoppolo and the trade and how that came to be.
They bided their time, they took a deep breath, and they came up with a win-win solution, really, for all parties. It is a restructured deal for Garoppolo. He becomes the highest-paid backup in the NFL with some incentives. And, of course, just like the word backup, he is literally a backup plan, just in case Trey Lance is not exactly what the 49ers think. Certainly one that makes sense for all sides, Mike.
I thought it was also interesting this morning on Good Morning Football in a different report. Ian Rappaport said these conversations about keeping Jimmy G started happening 5 days ago. 5 days ago.
What happened five days ago? What is happening? What is going on?
The Texans played the 49ers, beat the 49ers.
Oh, my God.
So I do think the Texans deserve some credit for Jimmy G being retained and becoming the highest paid backup because they saw what Trey Lance looked like. No, it wasn't a whole game, but it was enough against most of the Texans' defensive starters.
Imagine being broken by the Texans.
Yeah.
That's what the Texans
just
did.
Ain't that a kick in the teeth?
To Trey Lance and to Kyle Shanahan's confidence. I wonder how this plays out the first couple of games of the year. San Francisco's built to win now. They don't have a lot of draft picks in the near future because of the trade that they made to go and get Trey Lance. And I wonder who has the most doubts about Lance. Is it Shanahan? Is it John Lynch? Hell, is it Trey Lance himself? Right now, it's interesting to see San Francisco in this spot because I did feel like they were a pretty good pick if you wanted to make a Super Bowl bet going into the year. Just think about what they did last year with Garoppolo under center. If Trey Lance is good, you would think they would be able to get to the same round of the playoffs, which was the NFC Championship game. They beat the Packers on the road in the snow. This makes you really wonder. And I imagine if you're a San Francisco 49er player and you're seeing this going on too, you're thinking to yourself, wait, I thought we were moving on from Jimmy G. Now we're bringing him back in. Why should I have faith in Trey Lance? If things get tough, I'm supposed to believe that this guy is going to help me win.
And he's also not, he seems like a nice kid. He's not the vocal, I mean, you heard him at the podium, right? He's not the vocal leader that's going to command a locker room. And that's fine. There have been plenty of quiet quarterbacks who have been good leaders. I'm just saying he's not the guy that I think people are going to rally behind in general. I'm glad you brought up that they're also a win now roster because I think that's something that is overlooked in quarterback conversations often. Like the Browns are the same way. The Colts are the same way. When you're loaded the way that you are and you don't have a lot of high draft picks coming up, the 49ers are in a position to where, I don't want to say it's now or never, but it's now or probably not for a few years.
Right. I mean, they're loading up. I'm not saying that they're going to fall apart, say they don't win the Super Bowl this year, but everything was set up for Trey Lance to take over, and they are already shuffling their feet, thinking twice about it. And I don't, if I'm a player in that locker room, I think I would want Garoppolo back out there. If you as a head coach don't have faith in the decision that you made, then why would I have faith in you? And I think Shanahan's a great offensive mind, and I really do wonder who's behind all this, if Lynch or Shanahan has the most doubt about Trey Lance. But Shanahan's got a bad track record of messing things up when it seems like he has everything absolutely correct. Just go back to the Super Bowl that was played right here at NRG Stadium. They could have won the game, and then they kept on going for it. They're out of field goal range. Next thing you know, they lose.
Jimmy G wins. Like, I know he gets hurt easily. Yeah. I know he may not have that dog in him where he's going to play through every single injury, which honestly, to him, like, I hate to say, this is a smart thing. Like, it's a smart mentality.
Remember when he went on a date with a porn star?
Yes, he did. Which one was that?
He does have a dog in them. Someone I had never heard of before.
Okay.
In my research.
Okay. In your research.
My research.
It is roster cutdown day. The Browns just released Josh Rosen, quarterback, per JoJo Josina.
Mr. Hot Tub.
Yeah, there were 9 mistakes ahead of me, is what he said in the draft he was drafted. And he has been released. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. Probably Jacoby Brissett, you would think, would be their QB1.
Starting quarterback.
But it is roster cutdown day. There are some people that are wondering why Lovie Smith will not definitively declare Damian Pierce, who we all like, as running back one. Here's Lovie Smith on not naming a starting running back.
I told you Jalen Pitre. That don't mean that I tell you everything else, though, right? Yeah, no. If I was going to tell you, I would have come out and said that. We're not naming any more positions. I think some of the things since Jalen Pitre has been in the starting lineup the entire time he's here, that's an easy one. you know. But our running back position, I think you can see why we'll kind of wait for that.
That's an interesting one.
He got a little feisty with the media. I loved it.
Wait, playful, I would say more so. It's interesting at the very end there to say, well, you're going to see why. Well, why? What, are you going to give a lot of Marlon Mack reps or Rex Burkhead reps? I feel like anyone who's watched the preseason was very underwhelmed whenever either of those guys came in there. But I don't think it's the end of the world. Look, these coaches are so damn secretive, and they all want to pull a fast one on whoever they play in week one. And they think that whatever they say to the media is theoretically going to provide them either a disadvantage or an edge. And Lovie Smith's like, yeah, we're not going to tell you who our starting running back is going into the game. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think a lot of people, though, they just want to see Damian Pierce out there. Some of them might have drafted him in their fantasy football leagues. Others might just think to themselves, you know what? Like, I've watched this guy. I've watched the other two. He's so much better than the other two, at least visually.
A lot of these names we've never heard of, as you've brought up, but the Texans are releasing veteran safety Terrence Brooks per Adam Schefter. That is a name that we've heard of. So the moves are being made as the Texans inch towards a 53-man roster. I'm invested in the Ross Blacklock saga because
yes,
he was the pick for DeAndre Hopkins. Because, as our producer, Sean Mapes, brought up, he was the pick, was it right before Jonathan Taylor? Yeah, he's nodding his head. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of why he's one of the last kind of stinks left behind by the O'Brien regime. So I want to see what they do with him, and if he gets cut, we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's 3 o'clock today is when all cuts have to be officially made by. And I know I have heard more about Ross Blacklock from you than from anybody.
I'm interested.
I don't blame you. Second round pick, guy that hasn't done a whole lot, and you wonder just,
and a guy that was hyped up by the Texans and particularly OB.
That's not good.
So
it's almost like the kiss of death.
We will see what happens there with Ross Blacklock, but roster cuts happening today. Is there anybody else that you're semi-invested in, somebody that you want to follow, a guy that you'd like to see maybe make the roster or brought back even as a practice squad player?
Well, there's no one really on the Texans in particular, but I do think that the name that's been drawing the most buzz today is that Buccaneers wide receiver Tyler Johnson was cut, and a lot of people have been suggesting him. I will say this about the Texans wide receiver core. Okay, I like Chris Moore, who is like towards the bottom of that wide receiver depth chart. And of course, you have Brandon Cooks. You have both Chris Conley and Nico Collins. But I do wonder, like, if you could do better with one of those top five. And I feel like any weapon that you can give to Davis Mills can't hurt. Seeing as you are very high up on the waiver order, I would, at this point in time, put him pretty close to the top of my list of guys that I'd want to file a waiver claim for. But of course, we still have, you know, 4.5 hours or so where more guys could strike that. But as of right now, he is the number one guy. Lots of quarterbacks we recognize too. Kellen Mond, the former Aggie, he ended up getting cut by the Vikings. But that was a fit that never seemed to work out, whether it was Mike Zimmer
Danny
or him.
I was surprised was cut from the Green Bay Packers just because he had a couple nice preseason games. I would have thought maybe they'll bring him on as a practice squad guy, but I know Aaron Rodgers was really impressed by him, and at times he looked good. So coming up on Vanessa and Glant, yeah, more moves happening. We're going to go around the NFL and touch on some of the biggest stories of the day. But first, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. How are you feeling about the Texans? Are you starting to get a little bit more optimistic? I don't know. Maybe you want to put a couple bucks down on them. You can go to BUSR.com/ESPN. And double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up. Maybe put an over on the Texans to win 4.5 games this season. Maybe you're looking at the San Francisco 49ers. You're feeling otherwise about where they're at. Some people feel pretty good about them. All of a sudden, they're bringing Trey Lance back. How much faith do they have in Jimmy Garoppolo to replace Trey Lance? Are they going to think about putting Jimmy Garoppolo in for Lance? I don't know. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN and put some money down. And look, maybe you're not a football person. You like roulette. You like blackjack. You like horse racing or whatever your gambling needs. BUSR.com/ESPN has it for you. Double your deposit within the first 24 hours. But you got to sign up. BUSR.com/ESPN. Go play. Make some hay.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
9 days. We are a mere 9 days, single digits, to the NFL regular season. And boy, on Vanessa and Gallant, we are ready. So let's go to our jersey picker, consultant, expert, Paul Gallant. Who is your number nine?
We got a bunch of quarterbacks today. Drew Brees is probably the best of them, but you also got Sonny Jurgensen, Matthew Stafford, Steve McNair, Carson Palmer.
Wow.
Kicker extraordinaire, Justin Tucker. I think there's another person, but his name's just eluding me.
Number nine?
Yeah, it's just eluding me. I think he played in the state of Texas, but, you know, whatever. Who cares, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares? You'll hear him every single Sunday talking like this. Hey, Jim. I don't know,
Tony
Jim.
Romo. Got
I don't
it.
Know,
it took
Jim.
Me, it took me about 30 seconds.
I thought you were talking about Shane Lechter.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, like greatest, one of the greatest Texans of all time. Future NFL Hall of Famer.
Feels good to be in the single digits, guys. When we started this countdown, we were at 100 days, and it seemed so far away. Now, we are so close we can taste it. It is cut day, but there are also some moves being made. The Eagles have acquired Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from the Saints. The Eagles, obviously, throughout the offseason, it was a big narrative that their secondary was underwhelming. Here's some of the defensive additions made by the Eagles this offseason. Hassan Reddick, James Bradbury, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Kazir White, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. Not bad.
Jordan Davis has been clobbering folks in practice. There's been several viral clips of him just pushing people 10 yards back. They might have found an Aaron Donald in drafting him. A lot of talent in Philly. I don't know about the quarterback spot. I like Jalen Hurts, the man, the quarterback, not so sure about. But, hey, they continue to be aggressive.
I'm high on Hurts, baby.
You're high on Hurts?
Yeah. I want to believe in him. I think he showed some splashes. But you know what? With this roster, no excuses. They've made every move to surround him on all sides of the ball, so we'll see what he can do this year.
It's still the NFC East. Dallas just lost Tyron Smith likely for up to the year. You have the Commanders who suck with your boy Carson Wentz and the New York Giants with Daniel Jones. So Philly should do well. Some people have projected them to have the number one record in the league this year because of the schedule that they play
because
of the talent that they added. But Hurts is the big question. I do hope he proves people wrong. The guy's weathered a lot of BS over the course of his career, and he's literally with a stadium falling apart on him in Washington last year, and he handles every single one of these setbacks or sidetracks with a lot of, I would say, calm. So good for him.
Lamar Jackson is dispelling the rumors that he was offered a large amount of money. One Twitter user said the Ravens should give Jackson $250 million guaranteed. Another responded by saying, they already offered that. Jackson himself tweeted back and said, no, they didn't. Then after this, another Twitter person said, as much as I love Lamar, a fully guaranteed deal would be bad business. Lamar replied, you don't love Lamar.
But the tweeter's right. I mean, Jackson plays the position in a way where he will get hurt at some point. He has been, I think, very good at knowing how to avoid massive hits, but you play like that. I mean, we saw it happen with Dak Prescott. It doesn't take much. It's just one wrong step and you're out for a bit. And because so much of his game is based off of that speed and his ability to run with the football, I think you have to be careful to give someone like this a fully guaranteed contract.
So if you're Steve Bisciotti, you're not giving him a fully guaranteed contract, even though everything happened in Cleveland and they made that move and whatnot with Deshaun.
You would only do it because you feel like you have to because the market has changed. The kind of contract that I would be willing to give to a Lamar Jackson would be closer to what Kirk Cousins got from Minnesota if I have to do fully guaranteed, where I'm talking like 2 to 3 years. 4, 5, 6, something like that. I don't know. So we'll see what happens. Jackson, very open online too, by the way, because someone posted a picture of him in a Miami Dolphins jersey, and he liked the photo, and someone asked him about it, and he said, well, even though I grew up in Miami, you know, I was a Cowboys fan first, but I also like the Dolphins.
I like that. I like that he's playing around with it.
I don't like that he's from Miami and grew up liking the Cowboys.
It is weird that he's from Miami and grew up liking the Cowboys.
They weren't
but
good.
Maybe there was like a particular player that he liked. I don't know.
Maybe.
The Dolphins weren't much better.
Yeah, at that time.
Dolphins,
oh, yeah, that's true.
Probably.
Haven't won a playoff game since like Dan Marino was quarterback.
And that was the Ace Ventura because he's our age-ish, right? He's 25.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he should have liked the Dolphins. Weird.
I guess not a big,
Jim
Joey
Perry
Harrington fan?
Yeah.
Mike
Tomlin refuses to say who the Steelers are starting. We've heard reports from those that cover the Steelers closely that it's Mitch Trubisky with Kenny Pickett as the backup. But some folks are saying they'd like to see the glove thrower with the starting quarterback position. What do you guys think?
Pickett should be the guy. Like, what are we talking about with this Mitchell Trubisky stuff? Oh, he looked good in the preseason. There's a degree to which we all need to take a chill pill with the preseason and quarterbacks in particular. Defenses that are being thrown up against them aren't particularly complicated. But with that being said, you know, look, Pickett looked good in the second half of a preseason game. Trubisky was looking good in the first half. Trubisky does not have the upside that I feel Pittsburgh believes he has. And I just feel, why not put Kenny Pickett in with a absolutely loaded wide receiver core? They have Deontay Johnson. They have Chase Claypool. They just brought in George Pickens this offseason, who seems to be one of the stars of this offseason as well. Add all that up. I feel like just put the young kid in. You're wasting your time with Trubisky.
The Texans undefeated in the preseason, but Bill Belichick says it doesn't matter. He told Mike Reese of ESPN, quote, "Preseason is about developing your team for the season and evaluating the players. If you look at the play time in our games and any other games, I don't think Las Vegas played 30 players. I don't think it, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter," basically, is what Bill Belichick said. That's a very, very long quote per Mike Florio of NBC. But he said that it, quote, doesn't matter. Do you think it does? Are you on board with preseason not mattering? I remember last year I tweeted this out and Pharaoh Brown, quote, tweeted and said preseason does matter.
Yeah, it matters for 40 to 53. You know, it matters for the guys who right now are
going to sell insurance,
trying to find jobs today after cutdown day. It does. Only for that. It does not matter in the grand scheme of it, and does not matter. This is what people will get mad at me when I say, but from a do-you-care-about-it perspective, the average person should not have to care about the preseason because, again, it's we're talking about depth. And if those guys that make a roster because of what they did in the preseason do great things in the regular season, awesome. But it's very clear that no one takes the preseason seriously as a player, as a coach. That matters in this league. And I hate to say it like that, but I mean, there is a very clear caste system in this league of guys who are journeymen who maybe will get 1 or 2 years in the league, and the guys who are going to get 4, 5, 6 and more years in the league.
Sean, would you be able to play football without your glasses?
No. Or, I mean, I could, not well.
Tony Jefferson, if you guys remember on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, let everybody know that he couldn't believe that he stopped wearing contacts 8 years ago and that he recently started wearing them again and could see so well. Apparently it was too late. He has been cut by the Ravens.
Wow.
Well, maybe he's seeing too much.
Yeah.
He lost. He's not decisive anymore. He's
kind of
looking
like
around.
Yuli Gurriel when he went on that diet and all of a sudden wasn't good. He
exactly.
lost like 15 pounds exactly. after he stopped drinking pop and eating pizza.
Pop.
What? Oh.
Soda.
What do you guys? Soda or Coke. It's pop.
Well, I don't do the Coke thing. The Coke thing's
is
weird.
Is the Coke thing? Do you do the Coke thing?
Every once in a while, I'll catch myself.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys
you
do
Coke,
Coke
every
thing?
Now and then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every once in a
while. The Coke thing.
I like that we both thought the same
thing. The Coke
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he is seeing too much. That's around the NFL.
Maybe
and
he got covered by his insurance. Like,
yeah.
That would be, at the very least, like, hopefully that happens. You
know?
Do they get eye care in the? Because they don't test their eyes apparently. Because
you're
letting
is
Tony
insane.
Jefferson walk around blind.
How is that not part of the physical? I don't know.
You don't need to see. I'm one with the force. The force is with me.
We have the full trade terms, by the way. Eagles receive Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and a Saints 7th-round pick in 2025. The Saints receive the Eagles' 5th-round pick in 23 and the worst of their 2 6th-round picks in 2024 per Adam Schefter. So there you go. The Eagles get a little bit more dangerous. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the GOAT in the U.S. Open. We're talking a little bit at Serena. Plus, LIV Golf Tour gets even deeper. That's next. Ooh.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Serena Williams playing last night in what is thought to be possibly.
Or do you prefer bless you?
Great. Oh, I'm not offended by anything. I welcome all recognition of a sneeze.
Do you get mad if someone doesn't say bless you when you sneeze?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, sometimes I'm like, you don't have to say bless you. We can move on. Move on.
It's if I sneeze like three or four times and someone keeps going, bless you. I'm like, okay, I know you want attention.
Yeah, you can't do it all three times.
Speaking of attention seeking, did you guys get the video I sent you last night?
Yes.
Of the guy whistling on the elevator.
Please explain why this made you uncomfortable.
I get on the elevator, and if you're on an elevator alone and you're whistling Your Love by The Outfield, okay, cool. But then I get on the elevator, and he just looks at me and goes, hi, and keeps whistling loudly. I can't whistle, so I can't do it. But just imagine, just like really, really loudly. Is it not weird to whistle when someone's on the elevator with you?
Public whistling. What are we doing?
Right.
I disagree. What's wrong with a little whistle?
You think it's fine to whistle publicly?
Someone has a little pep in their step. What's wrong with sharing it with the whole world?
Keep it to yourself. That's what
right.
I say.
What if the person's a good whistler?
He was a good whistler.
You have to be, yeah, you can be a good whistler,
he's talented.
I still don't care.
But like, there's
you have
a time
to be like
place.
America's Got Talent level whistler for me to be like, oh, all right.
Then tell
yeah,
him to
that's
stop.
Pretty good.
But I don't know him.
Okay, then is it ruining your day that much?
Okay, you are not one to talk about complaining about little things if we're going to go there.
This is a little thing I would not complain about.
Because if you just look over at him in this elevator and go, can you stop whistling? You just escalated the situation so much more.
It's weird to whistle when somebody is in the elevator that you don't know, and to whistle loudly, not just a casual whistle.
Do you know what he was whistling?
Your Love by The Outfield.
Oh, okay.
I had a roommate that would always come home, and he would whistle so loudly. I could hear him. We rented a house together. I could hear him from upstairs in my room when he was in the kitchen cooking. I could hear him whistling. I'm like,
hell yeah.
I was like, I guess it works because I know when he's home at all times. But I was like, you don't have to whistle.
It's like attention seeking. I know you can whistle. I get it. It's like when someone FaceTimes in public. We know you have friends. Congratulations.
It might be just stuck in your head. You're trying to get it out.
You can have a song stuck in your head. You don't have to whistle.
Correct. Yeah. See, you are the guy that would do that. That's the problem is you would whistle when someone's on the elevator with you. See, this is just so triggering right now. Serena Williams, guys, no easy transition
there. She doesn't whistle.
The GOAT. Maybe she does whistle. She's good at everything. She was in what we think could be her last singles match last night at the U.S. Open. She looked amazing, had a diamond studded outfit. Her daughter was so cute. Her daughter, Olympia, was wearing the white beads in her hair, just like her mom did when she was 17 in her first U.S. Open appearance. She's the GOAT. But it was something that somebody tweeted that blew my mind. It was Robert Gordon, and he tweeted this. Today's edition of Sports Are Crazy. It is August 29th, 2022. Serena Williams won at the U.S. Open, and Albert Pujols hit a home run. This also happened on August 29th, 2001. Serena defeated Denisa Chetagovadva in the second round of
just
the Open.
Just for clarity's sake, in case you didn't
and
get it right,
Pujols went
one
yard
time.
Off of David Lundqvist. But it is crazy that two things happened that also happened in 2001.
I'm going to try to pronounce.
We're in a time machine.
I got to try to pronounce this person's
Denisa
name.
Denisa Chetagovadva.
That does look tricky because you got two accent marks.
I know.
Denisa Chetagovadva.
Yours is probably more accurate.
Denisa Chetagovadva. This happened on August 29th, 2001. Damn.
I know, right?
We're even talking pre-9/11. Holy smokes.
It is. It's like Ben and J-Lo getting back together. It's just a time machine, baby.
Wow. It's crazy, too, to see the Pujols number that was shared yesterday, that he has gone deep off of 450 different pitchers over the course of his career. And it's so weird that all of a sudden he is absolutely crushing it at the plate with the Cardinals. It does feel like we are in some sort of alternate universe, or that we've been just, I don't know, transported back in time.
He's
to
been
like
better
a decade
since the
ago.
All-Star break.
He really has
because
been.
I was at the All-Star game, humble brag, and for the Home Run Derby and all of that, everyone, these big, like, you know, applauses, standing ovations, which he's worthy of, whatever. But it felt almost like a, not a sympathy thing, but Rob Manfred being like, hey, one last go at it. It was great. It was nice. And then after the All-Star break, he's actually kind of killed it.
Did they give him something at the All-Star break?
Ooh.
And by
thoughts,
something,
comments, concerns.
I mean confidence. I would never make an implication such as that. Though I've always found it strange that his body is shaped that the way that it is. He does look like every single one of the great hitters of the 1990s who had the strangely V-shaped torsos that seemed to only be possible in a New Adventures of Batman and Superman cartoon from the 90s on WB.
So Serena Williams, we think, is wrapping it up. If you didn't read the article that she did in Variety about why she is, she calls it evolving because she doesn't like the word retire. Why she is evolving, I highly recommend it because I think it is a good read.
It is weird that she doesn't like the word retire. I mean, she's retiring. What's wrong with retiring?
She's retiring from tennis. I don't know
why. And moving
why.
On to something else, but I mean...
She said she wanted to call it a transition, but that word is...
co-opted.
...sensitive to a certain group of people. And I think she's right.
That word is different now.
It is different.
But it would be an accurate word to describe
transition
it.
Transition and retire are accurate.
Evolving makes you sound a little self-important.
She is self-important.
Now, she is a damn...
She's the greatest female athlete ever.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so in other news, Cam Smith, Joaquin Neiman, and a handful of others, including Cam Smith, are heading to LIV Golf. Kyle Porter of CBS tweeted this out. With the addition of Cam Smith, LIV's collection of golfers has won 12 of the last 24 majors. He later corrected it to 26. So 12 of the last 26 majors. Whatever you think about LIV and the PGA Tour, that's important and impressive. I see his stance here. Do you agree that PGA, not, I don't want to say could be in trouble, but they need to take notice of this?
Yeah, they've half-assed it. And I mean, okay, they did the meeting and they suggested, hey, well, we'll have our own playing tournaments, but too little too late. You spent the majority of the time that you could have spent coming up with alternatives to compete against the LIV Golf Tour. You spent that time essentially trying to slander anyone who would join this league. Now, I get it from the, you know, Saudi Arabia dynamic and with September 11th.
Sure, dirty money, yeah.
And with all sorts of different things. I get that. But at the same time, when you're being offered generational wealth like that, to be shamed when the sport that you're playing in isn't offering you the same thing, I think it's lame. It's sort of anti-American, too. Not to say that the PGA is necessarily American-American, but... Well, it's based in the United States. So to me, that's always been just, I think, a bad look by the PGA, even if the league that we all should be watching is that one. They didn't choose to be proactive. They got snippy.
They are evolving, as Serena Williams said, to bring it full circle. We saw that there's going to be a new league with Rory McIlroy and McIlvoy and Tiger Woods behind that. So I do think that they're trying to compete. But I thought this was a legit point brought up by Kyle Porter. You don't just have random golfers joining LIV. You have golfers who have won and who have been successful in the PGA. So whatever, I don't know if it's just the price is right. Pat McAfee on his show brought up something to my attention that I did not know, and I'm always willing to eat it when I was wrong. That there are a lot of companies in America that are funded by Saudi money and that have Saudi money, including, I think it's like Disney, Starbucks.
Yeah.
So that brought to me a gray area that I had not considered. I did not realize that Saudi money was as widespread as it is in America. And so from that perspective, I kind of get it.
Everything's dirty. There's so much dirty money that's in here. You could say, too, whether it's China. I'm sure there's some random North Korean tycoon that's been able to sneak some money in here, too, somehow. Yeah. That's what I mean about this whole thing. It's we're getting mad about people that are taking a financially more viable option because of where the money's coming from. But like all money, there is some bad things that went into all money at some point down the road in the past.
Per Aaron Wilson, by the way, it is roster cutdown day, so I just want to get this in before we hit break. The Texans are releasing quarterback Jeff Driscoll.
No!
The team would ideally like to have him back in some capacity. Tom Pelissero, oddly enough, at the exact same time, tweeted the Texans released Jeff Driscoll. They'd like him back on the practice squad. So
mass texts.
Jeff Driscoll will be around, but in a practice squad capacity. That is somebody that we know the front office likes. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are so excited to have Greg Rosenthal join the show to talk a little NFL. That'll be next.
You are listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down!
ESPN 97.5.